Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside the future Hall of Famer, Mr. Vince Carter, and the host of The Low Post, ESPN senior writer Zach Lowe. Gentlemen, excellent Rachel. To see you. Coming up, guys, we're going to look ahead to tonight's showdown between Zion and Luka right here on ESPN. Which young star is more likely to make the postseason this year? We will discuss. We're also going to preview Kevin Durant's return to the Bay Saturday on ABC, so you can stick around to hear that, hear what Draymond Green has to say, hear what Kevin Durant has to say. Producer Danny's in my ear saying we're going to talk Brooklyn here for a little bit. So, guys, when we go forward and look at this Brooklyn Nets team, we know they're an offensive juggernaut. We know they'd have to clean up the defense a little bit. Vince, James Harden told me he thinks their defense has to be good, not great. Where are you on that?
I mean, like I said, I think they just have to have a decent defense. I mean, and consistent defense. Let's use that word, because offensively, like you said, they are a juggernaut and they can score at will. So long as they stay healthy, everything else is going to fall into place. You know, and just defensively, you've seen them at times where you're like, oh man, they're going to be hard to stop because you can't stop them offensively, and defense, they're on the same page, getting stops and getting in transition where they're impossible to stop. But then sometimes you say, wait a minute. They're going to have to outscore teams to beat teams, and you can't do that in the playoffs all the time.
I agree with James. I think good is good enough, but the thing is, they're miles from good. It's not easy to just be good when you're the worst defense in the NBA. They have a lot of work to do to just be good. But I actually agree with him. To me, their model, we always say defense wins championships, and that's true to some degree. You got to be good at everything. But to me, their model, as soon as they got Harden, was the Cavs that won in 2016 and the Cavs that lost in the finals the next year, which I actually thought was a better Cleveland team that just was unfortunate enough to run into the Kevin Durant Warriors. Those teams were all-time great offensive teams and good enough defensive teams, and they proved you can win a championship and be a championship caliber team. That's where I think the Nets have to get to, because you're not going to just be able to just snap your fingers and outscore everybody. The Bucks have three really good defensive players to put on your guys, and that's before we even think about who's waiting for you if you're lucky enough to get out of these, the LA teams and all that, and Philly. Like, you're gonna have to be good.
Absolutely. And we'll hear from James Harden. I sat down with him a little bit later in the show. He was also talking in that conversation about being a playmaker and that people didn't think he could do that, basically, that he had to have the ball in his hands when he went to Brooklyn. He's been proving those people wrong. Zach,
yes,
do you feel that the way he's playing now, he can sustain all the way through a title run?
Yeah, I do. I actually think he hasn't been quite assertive enough. It's been wonderful to see him sort of come in, ease his way into it, be deferential, pile up these 10, 12, 13, 14 assist games. But I think there have been games, particularly when either Kevin or Kyrie have been out. And by the way, they've only played like 150 minutes together. We keep forgetting, as the Nets struggle in Detroit and all that, yeah, Kevin Durant's not playing.
Yeah, right.
We've barely seen their real team.
Right.
But I do think there have been games. I do think there have been games where I would have actually liked to see James take a few more step back threes, take over the scoring a little bit. And that's just part of the balance that all these guys are going to have to learn. They've barely played together as a trio. And I think we'll get there. I think sooner rather than later, we're going to see a Brooklyn game when all three of them play. And it's that game where it says, oh boy, this is what this team can be.
Yeah.
This is a little bit scary. It's coming. It's coming. Maybe it comes this weekend, but it's coming.
Well, Zach, I agree with you, and I'm going to say this. I think you'll see that in the second half of the season, which we call money time,
right,
when guys are trying to tune up and get ready to go. So I think that's when you see James will assert himself more once he figures out where he can score and what he has on his squad outside of KD and Kyrie.
Going to be interesting. Kevin Durant rejoined the team for practice today. He will be there tomorrow when the Nets go to the Bay to play the Golden State Warriors on ABC primetime Saturday night. Kevin's first trip back to the Bay Area since, of course, he left as a free agent. All right, coming up on this show, not only will we have my conversation with James, Carmelo Anthony scored 17 points in the fourth to help the Blazers beat the Sixers last night. How high is the ceiling for Portland this season? We'll discuss that. Let's shift our attention back to the Blazers. 36-year-old Carmelo Anthony dropping a season-high 24 points last night. Hard-fought win over the Sixers. Melo scored 17 in the fourth quarter. Now, Dame added a 30-piece. I guess it was kind of quiet. I don't know how a 30-piece can be quiet, but Vince, What is it like for you watching Melo go off like this, given you played against him for so many years, you watched him leave the league for a while? What did you think when you were watching this last night?
Well, let me start by saying this. Here's how you'll wonder why Dame's 30 was quiet. When you go 6-for-8, 75%, 3-for-4 from three
in the fourth quarter
for 17 points, you tend to forget because he's on a roll. And Carmelo's been doing it for a very long time. And it was a point where everybody's like, oh, he should retire, this, that, and the fourth. But he found somewhere where he's comfortable and they let him be him because he's a pure scorer and he's doing that. He's scoring and showing he deserves to be in the league. And he's top, what, some 13, 10 in scoring right now? And that's going to change. So I think the sky's the limit for their team. You know, I think it was a great job by the coaching staff bringing him off the bench. Now he can continue to be the Carmelo Anthony that we know and love.
Let's give the Blazers some love. No CJ,
yep.
No Nurk.
Yep.
Everyone wrote him off. And you know what they do every year? They just keep on keeping on. Dame Lillard, mm-hmm. Terry Stotts, the culture he's installed there, Neil O'Shea and the job he's done finding role players to build around that team. Melo gets you 20 in this quarter. Ennis Kanter gives you 14 and 15. Do you just find a way to survive? And you look up at the standings and, 14 and 10. Every year the Blazers are right there. I don't think their upside is really going to touch LA, Denver, Utah. But their ceiling, if they ever got this whole team healthy and rolling at the same time, is nobody wants to face them in the playoffs, and they're a sprained ankle on the other team away from being a problem. But just give them some love, because every time you write them off, all they do there is win. Maybe they don't win 60 games or 55 games, but they win a lot of NBA games, and that's something to be proud of.
And let's remember, this is a team that got to the Western Conference Finals just a couple of years ago, and they were not considered enough of a threat that Denver was trying to manipulate where they would end up in the bracket that year, remember? And they ended up in Portland's side of the bracket, and guess what? They beat them.
And just think about this. Looking at those stats, there's no way you could tell me that you knew that Portland was fifth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like Zach said, they find a way to win, and kudos to them, because I think they got a taste of how good they could be last year, and you know, they fell short, but they, like I said, regardless of who goes out, it's the next man up. And you know, when a guy goes out like a CJ McCollum, just think, you can incorporate Carmelo Anthony into your big minutes and win games like this.
Absolutely. We will keep a watch on them. And guys, Luka and the Mavs taking on Zion and the Pelicans tonight here on ESPN. We will be discussing that next. Which team is more likely to make the playoffs this season? Try to answer that at home during this break and see how your answers match up to Vince and Zach. And here's what the Jeb recommends for today. Mark Spears from the Undefeated, profiling Bay Area native Juan Toscano-Anderson. This is a really great piece, so head over to theundefeated.com. Read about Juan's journey from the Mexican Pro League to the Golden State Warriors. Here's a nice exchange we had last night. He's a great, great guy.
Juan, you've shown such an awesome appreciation for where you are right now, what you get to do. What's the thing that has most stopped you in your tracks about the fact that you get to put the Golden State Warriors sweatshirt on every day?
First, shout out to you, Rachel Nichols. This is pretty dope. I'm actually doing an interview with you. So
there you go. Come on. Give me a good answer then.
Honestly, everything. Every time I see this Warriors jersey, actually tonight was the first time I wore our blue jerseys. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, I've been watching the Warriors forever. So that city jersey is just like iconic in my eyes.
Nice.
You know, playing with Steph, watching him hit big shots like that, and then going on my phone on the internet and then Bleacher Report and ESPN or, you know, tweeting about it. So it's honestly, I can't even pick one thing. You know, being coached by Steve Kerr, being mentored by Draymond, like all these things are super special to me. So I don't take any of it for granted. I'm super appreciative of the position I have in my life. And I just give all the glory to God, you know, for keeping me healthy and allowing me these opportunities.
Tip off your weekend with our NBA Friday doubleheader, Zion versus Luka in Dallas. Then at 7:30 Eastern, then LeBron and the Lakers. They've won six straight, people. They're hosting Ja Morant and the Grizz. You can catch it all on ESPN and the app. Welcome back here to The Jump. Such a great matchup. Would be fun to see Luka and Zion in the playoffs this year, but not a guarantee. The Mavs and Pelicans both outside the top 10 in the West. That means they're not even in play-in game contention. Vince, which team do you think is more likely to get it together, make the playoffs, actually be in that final bracket?
It's a tough one. I honestly say neither. You know, I think both teams right now, I mean, I think it all depends on what the Golden State Warriors do. And they're playing right now. They hold the eighth spot, and they're playing great basketball. I think for the Pelicans, losing Drew Holiday was a big loss for them right now. So, I mean, we just have to see. But if I had to pick one, I would say the Mavs. Because I think they're playing better basketball right now, but it can go back and forth. I think they're 10 and 11 in the standings, and we'll see what the second half brings, because that's when it's money time, and these guys understand what it takes in the second half of the season. Luka's playing great basketball right now. They've been injured, but right now, I'll give it to the Mavs if you're twisting my arm.
What about you, Zach?
Hey, yeah, wait a second. I didn't know that neither was an option. I thought I had to pick somebody.
Yeah, well,
neither
becoming that's why I picked somebody.
I'm going to pick the Mavs because I actually think it's kind of impressive that the Mavs are 12 and 14, given how the virus and the related health and safety protocols just ravaged their team. They made it last year. We saw what Luka and KP did on the big stage. And I think they know what their identity is. They know who they are. And I think their roster is going to come together. The Pelicans are still finding out who they are. So I'll go Dallas, but I will say this. The Zion we've seen in the last two or three weeks, the one who's running a lot of pick and rolls, not just screening, but running a lot of pick and rolls and distributing, that guy, I think, locks New Orleans into a more cohesive identity. And that scares me a little bit if I'm the rest of the Western Conference. But I feel like New Orleans is going to go up and down a little bit more, and Dallas might go continuous up if they can just stay healthy and get together. So I'll say Dallas.
Yeah, I know we just sort of slough off COVID protocols and we just sort of say that, or we say, oh, yeah, they had a lot of guys missed with COVID. I had a conversation with Josh Richardson where he was explaining to me his entire experience. I don't think we've shown enough what happens to the guys in this league when they are going through this while also trying to play a regular season. First of all, he tested positive for COVID on the road, which means he woke up in a random hotel room in Denver and they told him, yeah, you can't Denver, leave for 10 days.
That's crazy.
Had none of his stuff, had not, you know, anything. And then he had real symptoms, just like a lot of guys. We heard Karl Anthony Towns talk about this yesterday, where he had trouble breathing. Even when he comes back, he said trouble sort of getting his wind. We know Maxi Kleba on the Mavs also had a lot of trouble sort of readjusting and getting back into the pace of the game. So I'm with you on the Mavericks. I actually think 12 and 14 is impressive. They've won a big chunk of their recent games, and I'm interested to see if they climb out. But, boy, Zion Williamson's still a problem and getting even more so. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
And you can see the playoff chances our BPI gives as well. All right, let's move on to the guy who beat out Zion for Rookie of the Year last season, Ja Morant, facing the Lakers tonight. Zach, you just featured him in your latest 10 Things column. Has Ja added to his game in year two? Because year one, he won Rookie of the Year.
I'm all in on Ja Morant. And what has he added? I don't know if he's added anything as much as he's just getting better continuously. But I'll say one thing. He's even a more sophisticated passer than he was last year. My favorite thing about him is a guy that fast and that athletic, he could hunt points every single time down the floor. He could play full throttle all the time, get ahead of his teammates, outrace the game. And Ja Morant doesn't play like that. He seeks out opportunities to get guys involved. He slows the game down. He knows how to manipulate the game in the half court. He's always looking for teammates. He'll get off the ball and work as a cutter for a little bit to get other people going. That kind of unselfishness, that kind of feel for what it means to be a point guard and a leader, that guy has it. And I'm all in on him, and I'm really hoping he continues to get better and does special things for Memphis.
And I agree with you, and I think just confidence and year two. He has a season under his belt. He knows what to expect night in and night out. He understands what it feels like, what it takes to be prepared for teams to double team you. He knows what it takes when you're seeing double teams. Back to backs. You're playing four games in five nights or four games in seven nights. All of this stuff is familiar to him now. So now you really get to see the true player, the real player, instead of them playing and guessing and trying to figure out what's going on. He's just comfortable and confident out there. And like you said, Zach, He's more efficient. He's unselfish. And what that's going to do is just going to have other players around the league, when they become free agents, wanting to play with him because of his unselfishness, even though he's a superstar.
Vince, you know this is my favorite question to ask you, since you have played against literally everyone for the last two decades of the NBA. When Ja Morant came into the league last year and you were on the court with him for the first time, what did you notice about him at court level, so to speak?
Well, outside of super athletic, right there, I knew he wanted to cross me over. I was like, nope, I'm going to foul you before you do that to me, one. That's why I looked at him and started laughing. I said, that's why he's laughing, because he knew he flopped. But anyway, I knew he was super athletic. And other than that, he's extremely comfortable and confident in his game. And as a rookie, he came in knowing, and he knew he belonged on that court. And that's what you can really see. It's not, and it wasn't at cockiness. You know, sometimes you can come look at a guy and you're like, oh man, this guy is cocky. No, he was confident about who he is and knew he belonged.
Amazing. I love watching him. He is so fun. And I know we're only getting more. Going to be a great game tonight. All right, guys. Coming up, Kevin Durant returning to Golden State for the first time as a Brooklyn Net. We will talk about, when we come back, what we can expect as we take the court. On Saturday night, the Nets face the Warriors on ABC, and I got to sit down with James Harden, the way we do everything right now, virtually, right? But talking about his decision to go to Brooklyn and how he thinks he is fitting in with the Nets. Take a look.
Sharing is caring, and James Harden is doing a bunch of that tonight.
It has been almost exactly a month since you were traded to Brooklyn. You said when the deal was made that you wanted to lean into your skills as a playmaker, but I'm not sure that everyone believed you.
He's not going to stand around and watch Kyrie and Kevin. Like, I want the ball.
How aware are you, or were you at the time, of that perception, and how do you think things have actually gone?
There's always going to be some kind of negative perception on James, but, you know, that's when you go out there and just, you know, continue to prove people wrong. The situation that I was with in Houston, consistently, you know, every single night having to get 40 points to give ourselves a chance to win for a long stint of years is draining. And so just to be able to have a skill set of guys that you can be a playmaker and you can, you know, get guys involved and not have to necessarily worry about scoring each possession, it's a little bit relieving for me.
You have won 3 scoring titles. You have been MVP. How has your thinking evolved from maybe earlier in your career, when that stuff was more at the forefront for you, versus now when you wanted to make this move?
I've pretty much, you know, reached and accomplished every individual stat, you know, or award that, you know, I can or I would want to. And it's always been about winning. Obviously, we fall short, we don't reach the goal, but, and you know, that was the ultimate reason for my decision. And that's the ultimate reason why I'm here in Brooklyn, trying to still chase that goal and chase that dream.
Which is not good enough. It's something that I don't think can be fixed, so.
It's also, of course, been a month since you left Houston. Now that you've had a minute to catch your breath and look back on things, how do you feel about the way things went in the month or two before you got traded?
I don't like it at all, because that's not who I am. The drama, the extra, whatever you want to call it, the negativity, for me, I don't really, you know, like negative energy. It's draining. So I don't like how it necessarily, you know, happened. I feel like it could have happened a lot smoother, a lot easier, but, you know, it is what it is.
Now that you've been through it, would you have done anything differently at the beginning of the season in Houston?
No, because I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I wasn't trying to be selfish. I feel like the front office, you knew, you know, where I stood and what I wanted. Apologize for how it, you know, it went down, but I guess I had to do what I had to do in order to, you know, get to where I wanted to go. You know, credit to Houston. You know, they didn't necessarily have to trade me to Brooklyn. You know, they could have traded me anywhere, but those are some stand-up guys over there. It ended up the right way. Just didn't like how, you know, that month or two played out.
You're now in Brooklyn. It's a change of part of the country, change of franchise, change of culture. Did you have to buy a new coat, boots, anything to deal with the winter?
I had to change my entire wardrobe. It's freezing. Like, now just being on the East Coast and playing, you know, a lot of more East Coast teams is freezing. A lot more, you know, a lot more big coats. You know, they got to bundle up more.
It's new fashion. All I'm saying is it's an opportunity for new fashion. So I expect
it's expensive fashion.
Well, that's true. We knew going in that the offense with you guys was going to be spectacular. The defense clearly is still a work in progress. What conversations do you, Kevin, and Kyrie have about that?
That, you know, in order for us to get to where we want to go, we're going to have to, you know, we don't have to be amazing. We just have to be solid. And right now we're not, you know, solid enough. The schedule is so hectic that we're playing four times a week, you know, and not really enough time to practice. So it has to be throughout the course of the games where we're learning, you know, and I think we're going to use this season, you know, for that.
You guys are still adjusting to playing with each other, and then you're also dealing with all the ups and downs of a season being played in a pandemic. You had the most bizarre game last week where Kevin Durant is told he can't start the game, then he plays a little bit, then he gets pulled in the third quarter.
It's frustrating, especially because we get tested, you know, once, majority of the time, recently twice a day. So I feel like, me personally, if we're getting tested consistently every single day, which we do, and we're continuously coming up negative, like Kevin was negative, then he should be good. I'm not a doctor, I'm not, you know, a scientist, I don't make the rules. I just, me personally, that's what I think.
From deep, Curry got it! 62!
You guys are playing the Warriors this weekend on ABC. Steph Curry has been on one lately. This is also gonna be Kevin's first game back in the Bay Area since he left as a free agent. What do you expect from him?
Well, this isn't Kevin's first time, you know, going back to his former team, you know, so I'm sure he's gonna go out there and be Kevin Durant. It's different because there's no fans. It would have been a lot different if we were fans, and you could have heard some boos and some cheers or whatnot, but I expect Kevin to go out there and be Kevin.
I'm gonna ask you to do a little predicting the future just before we go. Do you feel like you guys have enough to win a title this year?
Of course. We're more than confident that it's gonna be difficult for a team to beat us four times in the best of seven series, so I'm excited about it, and it's only been a month. All of us is, you know, trying to get to one goal, and that's the NBA championship.
It's gonna be hard for anyone to beat them. 4 out of 7, that's some confidence talking. And Saturday night, we will see, in fact, the Nets facing the Warriors on ABC. Coverage tips off at 8. I'll be on the sidelines for that game. And I asked Draymond Green a little bit more about what he expects from KD's first game back in the Bay. Take a listen to that.
You've got the Nets coming up. It's going to be the first time Kevin Durant is back in the Bay Area since he left the team. It's also going to be the first time you guys see the James Harden, Kyrie Irving, KD Nets. What do you expect from that game?
Obviously, they're scoring the ball better than any team in the history of the game right now. You know, so obviously we have to come out on the defensive end and try to really, you know, get the game going in our favor. As far as KD coming back to the Bay, I don't think it's the same. You know, there's no fans in the arena. I hope we don't, I mean, maybe you do like a small tribute video, but I think that should be saved for when there are fans in the arena, you know, and a guy can get like the reception that a two-time finals MVP deserves. You know, maybe you give him a little small something, but say the best one for you know, as the Lakers are doing with their championship banner. He deserves that.
And in fact, it does sound like that is what the Warriors are going to do. Two tribute videos for KD. I'm thrilled to welcome in NBA reporter Malika Andrews covering the Nets this season. Malika, what is the vibe around KD and the Nets as they prepare for this showdown? Because Kevin got to come back to practice today, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Rachel. It seems like Kevin is ready to move past the saga, the yo-yoing of being in the lineup and out of the lineup and left, right, and center against the Toronto Raptors. And he said, you heard it, he is just ready to play at this point. So they're happy to welcome back Kevin Durant. They know that they have not had a complete team for very much of this season. The big three have not had all that much time on the court to gel. And so they're looking forward to being able to build on that over the course of this road trip, starting on Saturday against the Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant seemed to share the same sentiment as Draymond Green. It won't be the same going back without fans. We've already played them once in a fanless building, even though that was in Barclays Center, but it'll still be nice to be back in the Bay Area and to see his old teammates.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'll enjoy seeing his old teammates, and it's not going to have the same effect going back. He's still going to go back, and he's going to go off and score at will like he's done. I'm sure he's just, like you said, he's happy to be back on the basketball court and play basketball with his guys, and they're trying to tune up to get ready for a playoff run. So every minute, every game that they play together matters. So mm-hmm. this is another game that matters to them.
For sure.
I think it's awesome to hear Draymond talk about KD like that, because you remember that shouting match they had on the sidelines against the Clippers. People always remember that, rightly or wrongly, yeah. as sort of the beginning of the end of KD in Golden State. But he's right. They won big together. They made a historical juggernaut together, two-time finals MVP. It should be a just easy video tribute, honor, standing ovation, all that. And as far as what KD will do, he's been arguably the best player in the league this season. He's one of the greatest players of all time. He's still at the peak of his powers after an Achilles tear, which is crazy. And I just can't wait to see. As Malika said, the big three of the Nets have only played about 150 minutes together, and they've come in between games where Kyrie's out, KD's out, James is out. There's going to be a game, and maybe it's the Warriors game, where everything comes together, they defend a little bit better, and we all look around at each other and say, uh-oh, this team looks completely unguardable. It's coming, and they'll get better as the season goes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. DeAndre Jordan is not going to play in that game tomorrow night. He is going to be out for personal reasons. Of course, we know the Warriors don't have a healthy center right now either. So I expect to see a different kind of matchup on the court tomorrow. And Malika, the fact that they did play this last week without KD, did that teach the Nets anything about what they need to do going forward?
Well, I think what they need to work on going forward, Rachel, is just so clear. Everybody on this panel knows it. Everyone within the Nets organization knows it, that with or without Kevin Durant, they knew that defense is where they're going to be zeroing in on over the course of this road trip, over the course of this season. And Steve Nash has said many times, Kevin Durant is our best defender. So perhaps that was exacerbated a little bit with him being out of the lineup, those glaring problems that they had on defense, especially in that game against Detroit. That's one that Kevin Durant mentioned specifically in his availability today when he said what he was looking forward to on this road trip was to be building defensively. But this is a team that is going to test the question of whether or not you need to have a top 10 defense in order to win a championship. That's their goal. We've heard James Harden say it to you. We've heard the Nets say it over and over again this season. The Warriors were able to do it when they finished 11th in the 17-18 season. In their dynasty, and the Lakers were able to do it in the 2000-2001 season before that, but no team in between. So that's what the question is going to be for this Nets team. How good does their defense need to be in order to reach that goal of winning a championship? Because offensively, they're golden.
Yeah, I think 10th, 11th is going to be good enough given how good their offense is. And like I said before, the 2016 Cavs and the 2017 Cavs that were a championship caliber team, that's the model for the Nets as well. It's the same thing. But I'll go a step further than Steve Nash. Kevin Durant is by far Brooklyn's best defender. And yes, this is their biggest challenge of the season. They're switching a lot, okay? They're switching a lot, which is how Harden played in Houston. But Houston's teams are a reminder. Like, you can switch because it's convenient and easy, and you can also switch when your whole team buys into it, practices it, works on it. And that was the best Rockets team in 2018 that really bought into that. Kyrie Irving is not a natural switch guy because he's going to get pounded by big guys down low. And we've seen the Nets try to rescue him out of those matchups with other switches going around it. That stuff just takes buy-in. It takes practice. And to me, the question for the Nets is, are you switching because it's easy and convenient and what you want to do? Or are you switching because you're going to really buy into it and get great at it? Because if they go that route, they can win the championship.
Well, Zach, I'll say to this about the Kyrie Irving situation. Well, you can switch 2 through 5 because if you don't have a DeAndre Jordan or a big, you're probably going to see Jeff Green playing the 5 and sometimes Harden playing the 4 or Kevin Durant playing the 5 or 4. So you can switch 2 through 5 and just show hedge or whatever you choose to do to keep Kyrie Irving on small guys or the smallest guy on the floor. So like I said, if they buy in defensively, you don't want to get into a scoring competition with the Nets. So defensively for them, they're going to have to lock down teams and keep teams under their average.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting. James Harden, as you heard at the top of the segment there, said, I just think we have to be good. We don't have to be great, but we definitely have to be good. Malika, I love when you come drop in on us. Come back and see us soon. Up next, guys, on The Jump, regular Kendrick Perkins called Ben Simmons a, quote, next-level defender. Do Vince and Zach agree? Stick around for that. It's crunch time, friends. Speaking of friends, Kendrick Perkins, he's a friend to us all. He called Ben Simmons a next-level defender. Would you agree, Vince? Is Simmons at the top of your all-defense list right now, or at least near it?
I think he is now committed to it. He could be a two-way player. And, you know, we think of two-way player guys who shoot the ball and can defend, but he affects the game in different ways with his triple-double and his passing. And he is committed defensively. And I've heard him say and say from his own mouth that he's very capable. He thinks he's the best defender in the league. Ooh. Imagine 6'9", able to stay in front of little guards with his length.
Yep.
That brings a lot to the table.
I love how much he's bought into defense. He was on my first team all defense last season. He's a defensive player of the year candidate. Now, there are times at the end of games where he dials in with such intensity that he's like Deion Sanders. You can't even pass the ball to his guy or he's going to intercept it and run it back for a touchdown. It's crazy how good he is on defense.
I think as good as he is and as recognized as he's been, it's actually still an underrated part of his game. There has been so much energy, inches and inches of articles written on the fit between him and Joel offensively. So much time spent on how he shoots, where he shoots, how far out he can shoot from. The fact that he is elite, elite on that side of the ball is something I think we should be paying more attention to. It seems like Doc Rivers is certainly showcasing that right now. All right, guys, it's time for League Pass Game of the Night. 11 games on the NBA slate tonight. Our producers picked a good one. Bucks versus Jazz. The Bucks second place out east. The Jazz first in the West. Zach, which team more likely to earn a number one seed if you had to pick those two?
Hey, it could be both. Apparently, I'm allowed to pick both or neither. Yes. But if I have to pick one, I'll pick the Bucks. I'll pick the Bucks just because the East is a little weaker at the top in the West. The West, though, Jazz are atop the West right now. But you got those two LA teams. You're one slump away from being third in the West. So I'll go with the Bucks leaping over Philly and getting the number one seed is a little bit more likely. But both teams are playing off the charts awesome.
Yeah, I looked at the Jazz, and the Jazz are playing lights out. But I agree. The Bucks, they're a game and a half out. They have the capability. They've been in that position before being the number one seed, particularly coming out of the East. So look for the Bucks, and I don't mean the Tampa Bay Bucks, by the way.
I never thought, by the way, this sentence would come out of my mouth. Vince Carter, you're a bad influence. But Vince Carter, you're a bad influence on Zach. He thinks he can just say neither now all the time.
No.
He can just say whatever he wants. Zach, do you see either of these two teams making moves before the deadline? They both feel like they're really kind of functioning on all cylinders right now.
Maybe something fringy, but they've both traded, particularly Milwaukee's traded all the picks they could trade. Utah traded picks to get Conley, so there's just not much wiggle room left for them to do. I'm sure they'll try and do something, but particularly if I'm Utah, I'm almost afraid to introduce anything. We're playing
agree.
So well, I want to keep it just the way it is.
Yeah, I feel like the Jazz are leaning on their continuity. It is helping them so much right now, especially in such a discombobulated season. They are a lot of fun to watch. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. Thank
Kendrick
you to Malika
Perkins.
Andrews, and I'll see you tomorrow night on
you.
ABC. Happy 87th birthday, Bill Russell.